This is Pure Decking, show number 451 for Thursday, November the 2nd, 1988. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and acknowledging the fact that there is not enough whiskey. Tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Nothing much. Works better when I'm not there.
I agree.
And I don't think my bosses have realized yet that I'm not working a full week for the rest of the year.
Well, they will. They'll figure it out.
I think they'll figure it out Monday when I'm not there.
And we have an RU.
Hello?
What's going on, RU?
Not much. Got to wait for the sentencing, dude.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Not really a decking. Happen. Not really a decking story, but it'll be fun to watch what happens with Bankman-Fried. Hopefully he doesn't get just the whole, couple of years at, in home arrest with an ankle monitor, because he'll just fuck off to some other country and never see him again. So.
Yep. Or he'll get the Madoff treatment.
You know, I honestly figure he's going to do a couple of years in a, minimum security white collar prison. And then they'll let him out with an ankle monitor for another couple of years, and then he'll just disappear.
Either way, everybody got paid.
Probably. So, we shall see. We shall see. But yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one, that I kind of figure the checks have been written, and, that's that.
Yeah.
That's just because I'm a cynical, grumpy old bastard.
Well, they kept trying to drop charges against him, and people were throwing a fit, and I think that's the only reason they didn't drop him completely. Because they realized, oh, people are watching this one. So.
Yeah, I've been following it all the last couple of weeks.
So the BBS has had a pretty good start. I got a couple of messages on there.
Good.
Did some posts. I don't have any door games set up yet. The screens are all still kind of the default Mystic screen, so we'll need to design what we want the thing to look like and figure out what we want our menus to be and if we want to change up. I mean, the defaults are fine for, like, the messaging system, right? I don't see any reason to mess with that. But, like, the logo it shows at the log off, the title screen, stuff like that we got to mess with. So, and, of course, door games. Got to get some door games going. So, as I have time, as I literally was on work for 13 hours today, and you'd think 13 hours sitting in front of a keyboard, in your gamer chair, wearing a headset, spending a good chunk of that time actually hacking on things, you'd think that was good. Fucking tired, man.
Imagine.
So... actually got to spend more time on the Linux command line than I normally do. These days, I spend more time in fucking Excel and PowerPoint than I do on anything real. But, so it's kind of nice to get back into it. And they still make fun of my keyboard.
As they should.
It's like, It's like, yeah, sorry, this isn't the one with the dampeners on it. It's like, oh, well, we just thought you might be shooting a machine gun over there. It's like, ah, screw off. So, although I was joking around with several heads of the company about, irreparably breaking an environment and just leaving it that way. I thought it was funny. I don't know why they didn't. So, but anyways, I guess we can get started here. I don't know, unless you guys have any particularly interesting things you want to throw out before we get to this White House sheet or you sent me.
Oh, I'm pretty good, man.
So, this is the fact sheet from whitehouse.gov. about President Biden issuing the executive order on safe, secure, and trustworthy artificial intelligence. We're from the government, and we're here to help. Run. I don't want to read the blurb about, oh, today he issued. Let's all be really real. President Biden didn't issue this. He signed it. So he, yeah, somebody else wrote this.
He doesn't know what AI is. I think it's Kamala Harris.
What? That's R2-D2, right? Is that what we're building? We're building R2-D2? Because I think they had a synthesizer in him.
And I think she just thinks it's the machine that makes Venn diagrams for her.
Makes the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I should go back and clip that thing with her trying to describe AI badly. But,
fuck.
Anyways, so here are the let's just start going through some of these bullet points they have and what they want for the executive order. Requires that developers of the most powerful AI systems share their safety test results and other critical information with the U.S. government. In accordance with the Defense Production Act, the order will require that companies developing any foundation model that poses a serious risk to national security, national economic security, or national public health and safety must notify the federal government when training the model and must share the results of all red team safety tests. Okay, well, they just won't do red team safety tests then, because they'd have to. They'll call it something else. These measures will ensure eight, huh?
Those are kind of vague. And where does he get the authority for the executive order?
In this case, he's saying the Defense Production Act. This is the same law. I think this is the same law that they tried to restrict the export of encryption as munitions back in the 90s and 2000s. Yeah. If it's not the same law, it's in the same ballpark.
It's the same law.
And I think it's basically the same thing where they're trying to control it. Problem with this is that genie's already out of the bottle. So, yeah, this measure will ensure AI systems are safe, secure, and trustworthy before companies make them public. Bullshit. For one thing, what this really means is that the government can walk in and just demand source code and models and copies from companies making AI. That's what this is.
They won't make them in America. They'll make them overseas.
Well, that's probably true.
This is just American companies have to apply with this.
Let's see.
No one else has to.
Yeah. It's questionable whether American companies actually have to, or at least parts of
it. They're not going to. Why would you tie your hands behind your back with regulation when China, India, other countries are just going to be running at full speed?
Other countries will
have. If you're going with China, they're already getting what Biden's asking for. Pick a different country.
Yeah, no, China definitely has controls in place. Other countries largely do too, but it's not so much on the methods and processes as it is the result. If your AI spews out something that goes against the party in China, you're going to have problems. So, develop national tools. Directing NIST to set up standards for how to test AI systems. That's fine. Protect. I don't mind NIST making standards. I mean, that's cool. It's nice to have references. Protect against the risks of using AI to engineer dangerous biological materials by developing strong new standards. Okay, how are you going to police this?
I was just gonna say, man.
It's gonna be like the guns
are gonna have something to say about that.
It's gonna be like
they make their bread and butter.
It's gonna be the gun charge when somebody robs a convenience store. Oh well, that was a robbery and a robbery with a deadly weapon, so we get to take another 5 years on there. You didn't stop the robbery; you just get to punish the guy more. That's not gonna do shit. Protect AI Americans from AI-enabled fraud and deception by establishing standards and best practices for detecting AI-generated content and authenticating official content. They can't do that now, even without AI. So, that's bullshit. Establish an advanced cybersecurity program to develop AI tools to find and fix vulnerabilities in critical software. Again, the government barely can do anything about that now. I don't see them doing it for AI. Yeah, this is their AI cyber challenge. Yeah, good luck with that. Order the development of a national security memorandum that directs further actions on AI and security. In other words, hey, we've got a bunch of experts. Let them go write stuff up. You had bullet points you specifically wanted to talk about. Oh, here it is. Advancing equity and civil rights.
Yeah.
Provide clear guidance to landlords, federal benefits programs, and federal contractors to keep AI algorithms from being used to exacerbate discrimination.
How?
Yeah, fucking how?
Without, you get a program to lie to itself.
Well, what it means is you'll have your actual AI model that generates the output, then you'll have the AI model you feed the result from the first one into to make sure that it's appropriate and clear and woke or whatever. So,
I don't know. Say we're using AI in a hospital for triage. I could see some equity issues coming into play there with who gets better treatment first. It's not going to be based on the severity of the wound. They're going to take that into account, plus the diversity stack. No, it's not going to come down to who's got insurance, dude. That's the last thing.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay.
You see where I'm going with this?
I don't know.
If you're doing the equity.
The American healthcare system's pretty mercantile. I think that insurance is going to be pretty high on the list.
I think a couple of lawsuits will fix that right up.
Oh, probably. If you can prove that's what it was.
Well, there'll be a fucking trail because the machine will leave a trail on how it got its thinking.
Possibly.
You could be able to audit its thinking.
Address.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that is interesting because you could have it. Yeah, you'd have to have it output its steps, but that's probably a solvable problem. Addressed algorithmic discrimination through training, technical assistance, and coordination between the Department of Justice and federal civil rights offices on the best practices for investigating and prosecuting civil rights violations related to AI. That doesn't sound like it's going to be a problem at all.
Did someone say witch hunt?
Okay. You know, and this is actually interesting. I found out the other day the origin of the word woke. It's not what we use it today. It used to just mean being aware of racism against black people. Now it's, you know, this kind of nebulous term that just means lefty, I think. But,
a derogatory term for wrong thing.
Yeah, there's that. But, I mean, it used to be, you know, being aware of, you know, systemic racism against black people back mostly in the 60s and 70s. And it's like, I think they need to go talk to the rest of the liberals who've been appropriating that term. Aren't they supposed to not be, doing the whole cultural appropriation thing?
Dude, I don't even know what they think they know what they're doing anymore.
I shouldn't go there. But I'm just like, you know, when you got algorithmic discrimination coming in there, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like, is it really that bad?
You cannot point out the hypocrisy of these people. They lose their shit, man. Because what's fucking wrong today is right tomorrow, you know, or what's right today is then fucking, you know, cancelable tomorrow.
It's only hypocrisy if you think they care about the standard.
They don't.
It's not. It's, I can do what I want and fuck you.
Yes. But putting it down on paper and saying AI must do this is bull. Not going to happen.
I don't care them putting standards on paper. I want to see the enforcement mechanism. Because until you throw in the enforcement mechanism, it's wishful thinking and bullshit.
Yeah. Well, that's
government's allowed to put in standards for whatever we're building here. It's
I've been drinking. Let me get the words out. I work in cybersecurity for my day job, right? I still think it's funny calling it cybersecurity because we all grew up with AOL and cyber meant something different. But standards to point at is useful. But I will tell you, almost no business applies those standards 100% perfectly in line with the government. Not because they don't want to spend the money, but they're handy to have standards. I like them developing good standards. Two problems. One, they actually need to be good standards, because I will tell you straight up, telling people to rotate their password every couple of months, as opposed to just using MFA, is stupid. Because when you make somebody rotate their password that often, they either come up with
write down their password.
They either come up with a formula where it's guessable, where it's the same password with a number that's increasing on the end of it, right? Or, they start writing it down. It's the whole post-it note on the monitor or under the keyboard, you know, and or on the bottom of the laptop kind of thing. And, or, like I've seen some people do, where they put the sticky note right on the front of the iPad and write the password on that. So it's just like, you know, seriously, I know people who have a mailing label in the little border on their iPad, and that's where they write that password down so they can find it. It's like, it's on your, literally an iPad. Pull up the Notes app, put it in there at least. So, you know, the standards need to be good standards. And, you know, if they're going to throw a lot of money at it and have some experts put some stuff together, that's fine. But most of this boils down to, you know, oh, we want people to be responsible with AI and we want to be able to audit it. You know, I'm like you said, I'm okay with them making standards. I'm okay with them saying you should be responsible with it. That's fine. The auditing part and being able to, you know, that very first part where, you know, they're referencing the, you know, the Defense Production Act and saying, oh, no, You have to share with us whatever you develop with AI. I don't think so. I don't think that's how this works, because it's making a couple assumptions. One, it's assuming that they have people who are capable of auditing this stuff, and right now almost nobody has people who are capable of auditing this stuff. And two, it assumes that they will eventually develop the standards to do it. And right now, this stuff is moving so fast, I don't know how you do that. You know, how do I point at a model and say, that's a fair model, that's an unfair model? Well, okay, we can come up with some tests to feed it, but these things change over time as they, you know, get new data sets programmed into them. Are you going to introduce an audit step into every data set? Because then AIs will move at the speed of the medical industry. Because you ever wonder why, if you ever go in a hospital, they're running Windows XP? On machines, it's because that's all they can get validated for the equipment they're using, because whatever company is making it, it's not paying to validate this stuff on every update.
Yeah.
So.
And fair is such a vague term, or equitable. I want accurate. Accurate can be a term, because if the AI is giving you a wrong answer, you know it's not accurate. But fair? There's a dozen ways to do fair.
Well, I think they like that because it gives them the fuzzy language they need to use it as a whim law. So.
Yeah. And that's what makes crappy law, is it also makes for crappy enforcement.
Well.
And the moment you take anyone to court with this, it's you're going to lose you the tool that you were trying to build.
Yeah. And I guess part of my problem with this is that the majority of our government right now are either unelected bureaucrats, most of whom have been in those jobs for decades, or elected politicians who are going to die in those jobs, and most of them have been there for at least 8 decades. Pretty sure a good chunk of the Senate, as well as, I mean, certainly the executive and, you know, the leadership role in the roles in the Senate, they're I forget how old Schumer is, but like they're all old.
I get a good standard test for the 12 people that are going to sit on the oversight committee for this.
Okay.
Format this machine.
Mm.
If they can't fucking format a basic Windows install, then you can't be on the AI fucking committee.
I mean, that's my
point. It's a very fucking low bar, man. It's a very low bar I'm setting.
It is, but that's my point, is that I don't think these people have any clue what they're trying to regulate. And
I don't think so either.
So that means they're going to do one of two things. Either they're going to write bad regulations, or they're going to bring in industry experts to advise them on the regulations, which means the regulations that they write will end up just creating monopolies, sort of like when they did the automotive industries and the previous tech industry.
Yeah,
so
that's what I think's being done.
It's just going to lock in the current leaders in AI, and nobody else will be able to get the foot in the door because the audit requirements will be stupid. So,
yeah, I can't trust it. That's why I threw it at a talk about on the show. Like that section there about equity, and it just tells you they're not fucking serious.
Well, I mean, it's my amazingly high opinion of government notwithstanding. You know, I just don't see positive results from this. At best, most of this is going to be ignored. At worst, you're going to create a regulatory nightmare for anybody using technology. And AI certainly has its uses. It has its places. Everybody, it's not AI. Everyone calls it AI. It's machine learning. It's generative content. It's guessing the next word. That's what it's really doing. But, neural networks, that's a good descriptive name for them. But the algorithm isn't plotting to kill you because the algorithm isn't plotting. It's not capable of it. And I mean plotting as in planning, scheming, not drawing a graph. Algorithms are certainly capable of drawing a graph. I had a calculator in high school that did it. But that's not what I meant. What I meant was that the AI isn't capable of having a motive or a plan. It has a data set. It reacts to a data set. That's it.
Yeah. So. But the programmers do have a motive and a plan.
Thank you,
and
man.
I think they need to be watched.
Mm.
Yep.
And now, that is fair.
I could see putting standards on how big of a data set use.
Standards around the training data is that actually would be a very good way to do this. And you know something, Madman? I bet nobody in the fucking government's even thought about that angle of it.
Well, it's not in this bill.
No, because they don't care. Mainly because right now, the people that are writing these are writing them to the standards that the party in power wants. Party in power changes.
I don't know that either party has people who actually understand this stuff well enough to write the regulations in any meaningful way.
It's a uniparty anyway, so nothing ever fucking changes.
Height of optimism here, aren't we?
Oh, I am. Yeah, you don't bring me along for a good time.
I don't know. I don't have anything else on that. Do you guys?
No, neither do I. I just wanted to bring the awareness to people that this thing did get passed this week.
It's an executive order. It's not passed. It's just written, and then it's either challenged later or generally ignored, often reversed by the next person in office.
You know, there's some decent stuff in here, directing NIST to create some standards and things like that. I'm fine with that. I think that's actually a good thing. But the rest of it is just wishful thinking and possibly giving people headaches. So I don't know. It's an excuse to look good on camera. That's about it.
That's it. It was just a talk fest. But at least we did get to hear Kamala Harris give another fantastic speech.
How much of that did she cackle through?
She's actually been trying to not cackle lately, and it's fucking hilarious catching herself not trying to cackle. It's great.
Yeah.
I think Kamala Harris School for Debate should be definitely something that they think about building.
Obviously, my opinion of Kamala Harris being so high, I don't like any of them anymore. I really don't.
I don't either.
Nothing
will change.
Next story?
Yep.
All right. Next story is from Reuters, or Reuters, if you want to make somebody upset. Who used to get mad when we
me.
It was you.
No one could get it fucking right.
I thought it was Suave. Was Suave mispronouncing it on purpose to piss you off?
Everybody thought it was Reuters.
It's Reuters, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Reuters.
Okay. China removes anonymity of bloggers with accounts more than 500,000 followers. It's an interesting idea. Let me read the article, then we talk about it. It's not that long. Beijing, China's most popular social media platforms on Tuesday announced that self-media accounts with more than 500,000 followers will be asked to display real name information, a controversial measure that has prompted concerns over doxing and privacy among some users. Self-media includes news and information not necessarily approved by the government, a genre of online content regulators have cracked down on in recent years to purify China's cyberspace. Doxing is the public release of sensitive information identifying an individual organization, like a home address or a phone number. Messaging and payment app WeChat, microblogging platform Weibo, Douyin, China's version of TikTok, search engine giant Baidu, social e-commerce app, oh good lord, Zhaohongshu, video sharing site Bilibili, among others, published separate statements on Tuesday, which means the government walked in and told them all they're doing this. And I butchered some of those names. I'm not sorry, but I'm going to admit that I butchered some of those names. Some, like former state media editor Hu Jing, have defended the measure as necessary in order to force influential accounts to use more responsible speech. Others, however, expressed concern that the measure would make doxing easier and platforms would further remove online users' anonymity in the future. Platforms have already moved to assuage users' concerns. Weibo CEO Wang Gaofei said 2 weeks ago that the policy would not expand to include accounts with follower counts below 500,000. ByteDance Douyin said on Tuesday that it would not ask for anything besides real names and that it would only allow verified accounts to view such information, adding that accounts deemed risky or abnormal would be prevented from seeing each other's names. I don't think it's abnormal or risky accounts people are worried about or getting doxxed by their citizens are worried about. I would think in China, wouldn't it be the government you were worried about? New measures will remove the anonymity of thousands of influencers on social media platforms that are used daily by hundreds of millions of Chinese. Several on the platform said the accounts with over 1 million followers would be affected first, and those that would not comply would face restrictions in their online traffic and income as a consequence. So, putting the China point aside, it's an interesting idea that when you reach a certain size of followers, because that means you have a more influential voice in society, that you have different restrictions put upon you by the platform. Now, in China, they want the real information, obviously, because if you say something that goes contrary to what the government wants, they're going to, I guess the correct way to say, the kind way to say that would be to take corrective action.
I wish I could just say that was with China, but it's growing more and more us as well.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is it's like, on one hand, anonymity is useful in that it means that you don't have to worry about consequences for your speech outside of the environment of the online persona. But if you are of a certain size, you know, saying that you have different responsibilities because now you're basically a major media platform, I think there's room for that conversation. I don't know about what China's doing, where they're requiring real names and phone numbers, but I don't know. Am I out of left field there?
No, and I don't even think it's as much size. I think it's credibility. If you're not willing to put your name on it, it does throw into question your credibility, especially if you're not naming your sources.
Well, Madman, we don't put our role names on this. So.
Yeah, and I would question my credibility on everything that I've said.
I mean, I do put the links out. You know, the links go with the show, so you can see where I'm getting the news stories from. But
this isn't a news show. It's an opinion show.
That's true. That's true. But I don't know that I'm opposed to the idea that you have a different set of responsibilities when you're you when you have a certain size following. But I don't know that I like the idea of the government enforcing that and, you know, putting that blanket, you will put out your real identity when you're that big. I don't like that.
I kind of go with it depends on the government, because theoretically, we are the government in a republic.
Well, if that was the case, how come I can't fire FBI agents?
I love your optimism, Madman.
The elected official you elect would fire them, but yeah.
They're not doing it either, so...
That's because none of the people I voted for got one last time. I'm in the minority. I can't say that. I think I won some House seats, but I wasn't expected to lose those.
But I mean, you know, I don't think we have 500,000 people listening to the show, but if we did, I mean, I know Jerome there would be really upset if I put out his real name.
Oh, he may be horrified. I've doxed myself. That shows how much I care about being doxed.
That's true. We've gone back and edited shows where you've doxed me. There's some poor government agent just furiously trying to figure out who Jerome is, which of the three of us is Jerome. Here's a hint. None. I was making up a name.
I don't know, man. I think if you're doing original content that is news, yeah, slap your name on it. But if you're just giving an opinion on somebody else's official news story that they've slapped their name on, meh, what does it matter? You're just an opinionist. People only listen to you that want to hear that same opinion. No one sits there every week to listen to me to get angry at my opinion. You know what I mean? Or if you do, that is one weird fucking fetish, man, and I'm quite happy to keep doing it for you.
There are people who hate watch. There are people who hate watch.
Is that me participating in the fetish if I keep doing it, knowing that people are hate watching? I don't know. It's a whole vicious cycle for a different time.
And there are people that incite. It's really easy to rile up the mob when you're anonymous and face few consequences.
One of the stories I ended up ditching for tonight was apparently several movie executives were paying their staff to go create troll accounts and, you know, yell at critics.
Yeah, that was, was it Netflix?
It wasn't just Netflix. It was a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And if you were... if you weren't permitted to be anonymous, that wouldn't be an issue, or as much of an issue. You'd have your one account, and you'd be stuck with what you said on it.
Have you seen any images from the influence farms?
You mean the racks of cell phones people use to click the like buttons?
No, these are like little cubicles that influencers do their TikTok videos from.
Can't say I have.
Well, I'll have to find some for you. They're hilarious, dude. Like,
I mean, I totally believe it, but it's just...
yeah, multiple different floors in this high-rise office building, and each one of them has a different set of influencers on it, like gamers on one floor.
Just little miniature studios to...
yeah, just tiny little studios with everything these people need provided by the companies they're doing the influencing for. In these tiny little fucking cubicles, they spend 12 hours a day making TikTok videos.
You know, the gag of it is a lot of people start on these platforms thinking it's going to be fun.
Hard fucking work if you're any good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, hell, I've looked at doing some YouTube stuff and it's just like, God, this is going to be a pain in the ass, isn't it? So...
yeah, so the people that are generally good are also enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not work if you love it. It's just a job that you enjoy.
You know, maybe that's why I stick with what I do. I did enjoy getting back on the command line and I mean, I had a couple of people going, "Oh, wow," because they didn't realize I knew what I was doing. So it was kind of fun. But and that's the sad part to me, actually, is, you know, I had somebody in the background saying, "Oh, dude, you actually knew what you were doing." I'm like, "Yeah," and then I realized it. Why they were saying that, because I've worked with several people who, in my field, who don't. So I'm gonna hand tangent hard from the story here. You know, of course, I do security, right? And that means I spend a lot of time in a Linux command line or, you know, PowerShell, digging through Windows logs, stuff like that. You know, sitting there doing stupid shit in the console of a web browser, trying to see if you can break websites, which, by the way, it's a lot easier than it should be. You can fuck with the JavaScript code that's running in a lot of web applications. Just if you hit it, you know, bring up that, hit F12, bring up that little console, down in the debugger, you can change code, change what JavaScript code is running in your local browser. That's really meant for people who are making web applications, but it also lets you fuck with them. So it is surprisingly easy to get websites to misbehave just by changing a couple of lines of JavaScript. Whether you're producing a slightly higher than possible high score to screw with Suave in a reaction game. God, that was like 15 years ago that I did that now, wasn't it?
Yep. Many moons.
But it had Suave going for like a fucking week trying to beat my score in there. I was proud of that part because I thought it was hilarious. You can do that. You can do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I run servers at home. I run servers in the cloud for G15 for us to use for, you know, the BBS, of course, our voice server, websites and stuff like that. Part of the reason I do that is just because I want to play with the toys, right? You know, I want to, but knowing how these systems work and having done sysadmin work in the past is very helpful when doing computer security work. But a lot of people I've been working with lately didn't come out of the IT side of things. They came out of the audit side of things. So they've got a list of standards they got from NIST or, you know, SANS or, you know, some internal document that somebody's put together. And they don't understand what those checkboxes mean. They're just going through and doing a checkbox. And it's like, oh, do you do this? Yes. Okay. Next. You do this? Next. Okay. And, you know, we're finding systems that passed an audit that somebody did because they just asked the sysadmins or the developers. They didn't go test the systems to actually, you know, find default creds, find systems that were performing weird, things that were exposed on the internet that shouldn't have been. And it's not, like, none of that stuff is hard if you know to check it. But they don't. They're treating it like an audit, not like a technology problem. And it's weird to me. It's weird that you've got somebody doing a security audit by checking boxes and not actually testing the system. Is that just me?
You obviously didn't get the memo of 2016.
It's not an issue for 2016. It's an issue of once you have a regulation, it can be good, but then you have people trained to the regulation. Uh-huh. Not necessarily to the job. So you need to still train to the job, and the regulation shouldn't be this hard and fast, this is how we do it. It's a guideline that you're measuring against, but not the thing itself.
So it is
and
me.
That's a problem we have.
What kills me is I've got junior people we've been hiring, right? And they don't know how systems work. And when I ask them, well, you told me you knew how to do this. And they're like, yeah, we did it in school. Well, how'd you do it in school? Well, we ran these simulator programs.
Oh, I remember taking that shit and I knew it was a downfall the moment I took it. Because we were in school when that shit was starting to be introduced. In high school, when you learned something, you were learning the thing. You were in Windows. You were going through Excel. You were doing whatever it was, whatever program you were working on, you were in that program. And then junior or sophomore year of college, they started introducing, here's a tutorial on how to teach it, because the teachers didn't know how to teach the programs.
Oh, I told you about my Windows 2000 classes, didn't I?
Oh, possibly. I know I was bitching about a couple of email tutorials I had to do, because I know, at least early on in Windows, there was a dozen ways to do anything.
Sure.
I don't give a fuck about those dozen ways. I learned two. I learned the one that I always used, and then I learned another one for when that one fucked up, and I didn't give a damn about the rest of them. I don't care if they ended up being easier, whatever. I don't care. I got the job done.
Well, so I in my Windows 2000 certification classes I took, it tells you when I went to college, right? I finally got rid of them a few years ago, but I used to have the Microsoft certification books, because that's what they used for the class. And I had these big sets of Microsoft certification books for Windows 2000. And a lot of that stuff is still relevant today, because on the back end, it's the same shit. Yeah, the UI is a little different, but so what? And the thing was, though, I'd built servers at home. I'd been running them. We were doing the class projects. So the way the guy was teaching the classes, he would just open up the book to a page and ask a question. And it took us a couple of weeks to figure out what was going on, because he didn't know what the correct answer to the question was. He was just waiting to see, did somebody know the answer in the book? Because I would usually spout off an answer, right? And 9 times out of 10, he would go, no, that's wrong. And I would be confused, and we'd all start, me and about the 7 other people in the class would start digging through the books, trying to find the answer. And we'd figure out that I gave the correct answer, I just didn't word it the way it was in the book. Somebody else would read what was in the book, and he'd say, that's correct. Even though it was essentially the same thing. You know, I would say, oh, you go check the checkbox in the properties window. And the correct answer was, you open the property windows and check the checkbox. One, English was not the guy's first language. He was Chinese. But two, he didn't know it. He didn't know any of it. He was just teaching to the book. And what made it worse, and when we figured out what was happening, because I would say the correct answer, just worded differently. And then he would say that was wrong. And so nobody else in the class could get the damn answer right, because they're sitting there looking through the book trying to find a different answer than what I just said, and they couldn't find it because we all spoke fucking English. Not bitter. Not bitter at all.
Oh, I understand. I'm bitter about the software seat saying I got it wrong when the fucking letters got bolded, didn't they? I just didn't do it the way you wanted me to do it. Yeah, but that's the problem you're having, is these, your team weren't trying to do the job, they were trying to do the checklist.
Yeah.
And they need to know to do the job and then hand them a checklist.
So it's just, it's in, yeah, because I remember in the college classes when we figured out what was happening, I just quit answering the questions and let other people answer them, because it was going faster when we did that. And then the instructor said, well, why did you quit answering questions? I said, because you always say they're wrong when they're not. And he looked at me like I wasn't, like I was the asshole. I guess I was for saying that, but didn't matter. I still got my A's. I still got my cert. Didn't matter. But it was just, you know. We should probably get back to stories, huh?
Yeah.
Next up.
What's next up?
From 404 Media. I should probably have posted it in the IRC and the TeamSpeak by now, but I didn't. So there it is. And Psychros sent me a version of the story on the BBS. So I'm pimping the BBS. I want more people using that, because that's, you know, clean and not tied to social media companies. You do have to use very specific clients to get into it, but I've refused to turn on Telnet. You know, if you're going to log into my BBS, it's going to be over a secure channel. There might be other protocols we can turn on, but I'm refuse to turn on a clear text one because bullshit. We're not doing that. This is a different article from a different site from the one Psycho sent me, but it's basically the same thing. The ever-escalating game of cat and mouse between YouTube, ad blockers, and users has reached a point where it can no longer be ignored, with YouTube making it impossible for some users with ad blockers to watch videos. The ad blocker developers and their users constantly updating their tactics to continue blocking ads on YouTube. Over the last few months, people using ad blockers have been getting these pop-ups from YouTube, and they've got some screenshots here. Stage 1, ad blockers are not allowed. Stage 2 is the same warning with some more stuff about you must turn it off. Stage 3 is your player will be blocked after 3 videos. And so then it's got 3 different things saying, hey, if you keep this up, we're going to ban your ass. And then the last one is ad blockers violate YouTube's terms of service. You looks like you may be using an ad blocker. Video playback is blocked unless YouTube is allowed or the ad blocker is disabled. So, yeah, it's basically give us money for YouTube Premium or turn off your ad blocker because fuck you. You will run the code we tell you. And this bothers me. This bothers me because I believe I have the right to determine what code runs on my computer. Most websites and Microsoft disagree with that point of view. They want to be able to run whatever code they want on my computer. This is the eternal struggle. Because it goes both ways. Because a lot of the software I want to use for things like my 3D printing are Windows only, specifically the CAD software, or are within a web browser, and the website wants to run whatever code so they can display their ads and make money. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. I just think they're wrong. They don't have the right to tell my computer that it will run certain code. Back to the article, YouTube has been rolling out these to different users at different times, so there hasn't been a single day of ad block apocalypse. Instead, it's been a constantly evolving problem that is affecting millions of people at different times. This is app developer Zihai Tan wrote in an excellent blog post this week, has the effect of confusing people who have flooded Reddit, social media, and ad block review sites with differing information. Because certain versions of certain ad blockers continue to work for some people, but not others. AdGuard co-founder Andre Meskev told 404 Media that what YouTube is doing is, quote, technically nothing too special compared to what we've seen in the past from others. The difference is scale. YouTube is huge, and video ads are especially annoying, which makes this case interesting, unquote. Quote, generally speaking, they're employing a standard ad block wall tactic. Try to detect an ad blocker, and if it's detected, show a pop-up that prompts the user to disable their ad blocker. He added, quote, there are several versions of these pop-ups. Their testing is clearly still in process. However, the share of affected users is growing, so we can safely assume that we're eventually going to launch it for all YouTube users. So, you know what the funny gag is? The article stops there and says the rest is for members only. So, yeah. YouTube's getting more aggressive with their ad blocks. The funny thing is a lot of the ad blockers are updating to try to get around YouTube's detections. So, I think you'll see...
the war rages on.
Yep, it'll rage on and rage on. I know there were some people developing third-party player clients to use YouTube without having, not even going through the damn browser. So
yeah, that was big about 7 years ago, and they cracked down on it.
Well, I'd
like to see it come back again.
A lot of the Linux distros used to do that. Rather than trying to play YouTube in the browser, they'd tell you to, you want to go download this client and play it that way. And, I tried a couple of them. They were okay. It just wasn't as convenient as just being able to pop up the web page and go. But, the Android app that the last time I messed with that one, the Android app still worked. So I forget what it was called now, but I'd linked it in a dojo a few years ago that you know, the hacked app that'll play the YouTube without the ads. So you can look around. There's a couple of those. That's how I'd. Anyways. Thoughts on that, anybody, before we go on to the next story?
Yeah, my computer's been giving me the message on that one.
Just refresh the page, man.
Refreshing doesn't always work. But I'm watching fewer and fewer videos on YouTube, at least at my computer.
Yeah,
I still watch a lot of YouTube on the TV, but not on the computer. You're right. My little Amazon stick is where I watch a lot of video these days, and yeah, I've got it. You know, it'll hook up to some of my local servers for streaming video that I've downloaded, and a few other things, and then yeah, YouTube, and of course the Amazon built-in stuff. But
well, a lot of the stuff I watch on YouTube, the guys have their own pretty much website, and I've just been going to the website instead and just bypassing YouTube.
Well, that's probably the better way to go. Use YouTube to build your following and then send them to a site that you actually have some control over.
Yeah, because I understand YouTube's point of view. They have to fund it, so they give you the option of you can pay us, and it should be pay us and not watch ads, but I do believe on their premium there's still ads. No, that's what pisses me off.
I paid for new YouTube Premium for a little while because I have iPads, and you know they don't have the hacked version of the Android app, and I wasn't getting ads for YouTube Premium stuff on them. So I don't think it's quite that bad as some of the articles made it out to be. But you know, for what it is, it's not cheap, which is why I only did it for a little while I was traveling. It's almost never watch YouTube on the iPads, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if they add anything like actual TV shows.
No.
I do see movies on there, and
they want you to pay for those separate.
Oh, then yeah, it's not really worth paying them. I don't believe they're sharing that much with the actual content creators. That's one reason I started going to their websites is YouTube doesn't share their profits very nicely.
No, several content creators have put out videos about where their profits come from, and most of them make their money with this ad spots that they insert, not YouTube ads. That's why every video you click on these days has them do a live read for whatever game or VPN service, because that's where they're making their money. So. And yes, I'm being intentionally vague on any of those because I don't want to advertise for any of the ones that just because I've seen ads for them, to use as an example.
It doesn't matter.
You know, I mean, we could make Raid Shadow Legends jokes all day long. I just don't want to.
And I think I'd have less of an issue paying for YouTube if I knew the money was going to the guys who make me want to go to YouTube. And I know YouTube's providing them a service, but charge those guys, don't charge me.
I posted the wrong... Oh, I see why I did that. Because I already posted the next story, and then I started... I'm way ahead in the IRC. Don't mind me. Are you anything on that you want to move on?
No, I'm good.
Last article I have for tonight is from CNN Business. Microsoft is making the mess of the news after replacing staff with AI. This is from CNN Business. False claims that President Joe Biden fell asleep during a moment of silence for victims of the Maui wildfire. A conspiracy theory that the latest surge in COVID-19 cases is being orchestrated by the Democratic Party ahead of the election. An obituary for a late NBA player that describes him as useless. Okay, the other two are politics, but an NBA player that the obit calls him useless? That's a little much. These false and bizarre stories aren't showing up on some far-flung corner of the internet. They're being published by Microsoft. The company's homepage, also known as MSN.com and Microsoft Start, remains one of the world's most trafficked. This is not the story I thought I was linking. Okay, I thought I was doing the one that had the... it is. Okay, they've just got a whole intro here where they're inserting their own shit. It's CNN, what did I expect? Let's skip ahead a bit. The Guardian. Concerns and tensions about Microsoft's use of AI in its news content boiled over on Tuesday when Britain's The Guardian newspaper accused the company of damaging the paper's reputation after it published an article from the outlet on its site. To power its highly trafficked news portal, Microsoft has established licensing agreements with major news organizations around the world, including The Guardian and CNN, that allow the tech giant to republish their articles in exchange for a share of the advertising revenue. Last week, The Guardian published an article about Lily James, a 21-year-old woman who was found dead with serious head injuries at a school in Sydney, Australia. James's murder led to an outpouring of grief and promoted a national conversation in Australia about violence against women. But when MSN republished The Guardian's story, it accompanied it with an AI-generated poll asking users, quote, "What do you think was the reason behind the woman's death?" Unquote.
Holy fuck. And it didn't I hear of this?
And it listed, this is why I wanted to do this story. I didn't realize the first, three paragraphs were CNN bullshit. I should have, but I didn't. It's what I get for skimming. What do you think was the reason behind this woman's death? And the three options were murder, accident, and suicide. The poll prompted criticism from Microsoft's readers. Quote, "This has to be the most pathetic, disgusting poll I've ever seen," unquote, one person wrote. Anna Bastian, the chief executive at the Guardian Media Group, said in a sharply worded letter to Microsoft, obtained by CNN, the auto-generated poll was, quote, "deeply concerning," application, unquote, application of the company's AI technology, and demanded Microsoft take full responsibility. Quote, "Not only is this sort of application potentially distressing for the family of the individual who's the subject of the story, it also is deeply damaging to The Guardian's hard-won reputation for trusted, sensitive journalism, and to the reputation of individual journalists who wrote the story," unquote. Bastian wrote in a letter Tuesday to Microsoft President Brad Smith.
The Guardian's pissed.
Yeah.
Because they just copied AI from another place and then published it, and they didn't do any copy check before publishing.
It's that
Microsoft generated this poll.
The story... The poll was generated by Microsoft on their website using their little AI tool. So the poll isn't part of the story. The Guardian's pissed that the poll was placed there with the story. And I'm pissed that the poll didn't have better answers. Because it shouldn't have been murder, suicide, whatever. It should have been, she got too lippy.
Oh, God.
Her lip service wasn't good enough.
Failed to maintain cleanliness in the pool area.
Oh!
I still ain't got my damn sandwich. Those should have been the fucking reasons.
The rest of the article goes on about fake news and talking to some people who worked at Microsoft, so I'm not going to read the rest of it.
Does it mention Trump at all? Because they got to slide that in somewhere.
Let's see. Control F, T-R-U-M-P. Only in articles that are listed as related.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, the rest of the article I don't care about. I just wanted to read that part about the poll being auto-generated and putting next to the story.
Great.
So, anyways.
What are they just trying to generate those to pique interest and keep people reading the story?
Yeah.
Like, this is my opinion of it.
That's exactly what it was, but it was just very poorly done. Because the AI doesn't have a sense of propriety.
Or so, humor. It still could have gone full onion on that.
Whoops.
Wrong one.
That was the wrong
terrible
one. Granted, in the context of what we're talking
about. Damn AI. Yo!
What I have for you tonight for Dojo is a YouTube video put out by a channel called Audio Gear. It's only got 160 some odd subscribers, but it's fucking hilarious because it's about hiding Bitcoin wallets in like 90s media, like a VHF tape, a VHS tape, DVDs, a Nintendo 64 save game. So One, that the concept alone is hilarious to me. Two, there's no reason it has to be a Bitcoin wallet. Just saying. It's only 9 minutes long. It's worth watching. It's funny because they've got a reference to the Left Behind movie that's got what's his name in it?
Liam Neeson?
No, Kirk Cameron. So, you know, just bad jokes all around, right? But it's got a Nintendo 64 in it as well. So, you know, hey, nostalgia. But that's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The BBS, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the IRC, which I wasn't really watching. Well, there wasn't that much. In the IRC tonight, CyberLard, Cycros, Madman, myself, Neurobash, Sardonyx, and she. Madman, closing thoughts.
If you're hiding your Bitcoin wallet, don't stick it in a VHS because it's going to end up in Goodwill and you're going to wonder where the fuck your wallet is.
Are you closing thoughts?
Oh, I was just thinking some VHS tapes are actually worth quite a bit of money now, so you may get your shit stolen anyway.
Well, good luck finding a working VHS player either, too.
Three behind me, motherfucker.
One in my closet.
And it works?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you all checked it?
Yes.
Okay.
Not since I moved here.
It's the only way I watch the original Star Wars.
There are people who make good money on eBay buying broken VHS players, fixing them, and replaying because nobody's making new ones anymore.
It's generally just the little rubber.
Yeah, it's the belt.
Pulley. Yeah.
But not always. Sometimes the little plastic gear. So, you know, you have to get out the old resin 3D printer to fix. Anyways, that's all I got. You guys have anything before I start playing sound effects? You just close it out.
I'm good.
Close it out.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
God hates Australia.